Today's show is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals.
For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun.
Happy birthday, YouTube! You've come a long way, baby! The video sharing site celebrated its 5-year anniversary with a stunning announcement. It now serves more than 2 billion videos a day, almost double the audience of primetime television. In many ways, video sharing sites have transformed not just TV, but people's lives. It's given millions a way to speak out like never before.
Today we celebrate with one of the most successful video creators on YouTube, Michael Buckley. His video blog, What the Buck, where he dishes entertainment news at a frenetic speed, is one of the top subscribed shows of all time, with over 200 million views since he started in 2006.
Join us as Michael reflects on his amazing journey and does what Michael does best, serve up sassy talk on the rich, powerful, and beautiful celebrities.
Plus all the hot news. Lady Gaga finally talks about the rumors of her being a hermaphrodite, and she loves it.
Kevin Jonas, the possibly gay Jonas brother, admits to not sleeping in the same bed with his newlywed wife.
Jason Mraz stands up for LGBT equality.
And Tom Cruise explains why he jumped on Oprah's couch by sort of denying it ever happened. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Who the hell is this and what do you want? Why are you calling?
We have your baby.
Ah!
Is this Michael Buckley?
Wrong number, Clark. Hello!
Hi, Michael. It's Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun.
Well, hello, Feast of Fun. How are you?
I'm doing great. Congratulations on the upcoming anniversary of What the Buck.
Thank you. Is it upcoming? I think it's past.
I thought you started your show in August.
Did I? Oh, did I say that? August of when?
Of 2006.
Yeah.
No, I've been doing it since summer of 05, but my YouTube anniversary is May of 2006. So, fact checker, someone's fired. Heads will roll. I love looking at the comments from when I was on in 2008 because people are writing, I had to listen to that twice just to understand what was saying. He talks so fast.
Well, you know, the funny thing is they said we started speaking fast because you were speaking fast.
I speak very rapidly. Hello to all your listeners. Hello to all the homosexuals and non-homosexuals listening.
You're being compared to being a living can of Red Bull.
And the last time you called me, I was actually at my job, which I no longer work there, and I was, like, hiding up in, like, one of the corporate suites, and I was, like, it was just such an odd world of being, like, oh, I'm at my desk, and now I have to go be, you know, What the Buck and frantic and blah, 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 and then, you know, go back and sit at my desk and be like, oh, hello, I'm relatively normal for a couple hours a day.
Now, last time we talked to you and you were working, you couldn't tell us what job you had.
You know what, I was so secretive about it because I felt so like I was giving so much of myself on a daily basis, and I didn't like to talk about my husband. I didn't like to talk about my job, just for privacy purposes, but I was working for Live Nation, formerly Clear Channel, the large concert company. So I worked, it was a concert venue. I did office work for 6 years, and I loved it. It was a great day job. So yeah, that's what I was doing, and at the time I was not wanting to talk about it, and also I didn't want people to call, you know, people were calling me at home, and I didn't want people calling Live Nation in Connecticut, oh, it's Buck there, you know, so I just tried to be, actually, there was a concert, Jonas Brothers, and I walked in, and they all started screaming, what the Buck, and I had my flip cam in my pocket, and I took it out, and I just pretended I was there to see the show. I'm like, hi, everybody, I'm here to see the show, too. Like, I just didn't want people to know where I worked. Very private. Very, very private. Very private.
It sounds like you were living, like, Lucy Ricardo's life or something.
Sounds more like Clark Kent and Superman.
It's so wonderful to just be able to be myself all day, every day, and, you know, not work. I mean, who doesn't want to not work? But it's nice. It's nice. It's a very... my life is completely different than when I spoke to you last, and I'm very, very lucky, very grateful.
So what has changed, though? You still use the same video camera, the same green backdrop.
I actually have a slightly different green backdrop, same camera. I'm about to buy a new camera. I've just been hesitating on buying a camera. But yeah, it's everything's the same. I film from home full time. I did buy a larger home down the road from where I was living. But yeah, it's nice to just live on your, you know, on your, do something, you know, for a living and just, that's it, you know, that you love. I was doing this anyway, 50 hours a week, you know, for 2 years, didn't make a dime, just loved it, had a great time, thought it perhaps would lead to something. I had no idea at the time it would lead to just being what it was, and that was enough, you know.
It's the 5-year anniversary of YouTube, and they did all these pieces on well-known video bloggers. Are you okay that they didn't do one of you?
Oh, God, no, not at all. I mean, YouTube, I actually made a video. YouTube has done so much for me, and, you know, I've been so many times YouTube has, you know, featured me, or that, you know, I was on the front page of the New York Times because YouTube, you know, suggested me. They've done more than enough for me. I was thrilled to see other people. They don't always need to use me for everything, so it was fine. And I made my own video just to, you know, I made a video for 6 minutes talking about my YouTube story.
So who do you feel like inspires you now? Because you're really involved in video blogging still. You still interact. You still talk to so many people. Who inspires you? Like, who's hot right now?
There's the people who are hot on YouTube right now. It's Shane Dawson. He makes comedic videos. He's very funny and very popular. Millions of views. Very, very nice guy. And this guy, Ray William Johnson, who does a scripted viral video review show. I like the old-time YouTubers who I've always liked, like Lisa Nova and Dave Days. So I'm always inspired on YouTube. There's so many people. It is really such a wonderful platform. There are people there who are doing cooking shows, doing video blogging, doing skits. It's crazy. And also, when I last talked to you, it was funny how the people who were like up and coming had like 1,000 subscribers, 10,000 subscribers. Now the people who are up and coming have like 100,000 subscribers. I mean, there are so many people watching YouTube. It's crazy. There's so many people who are making a living doing it. So many people.
Was it this past month that Google announced that YouTube, more people are watching YouTube now than they're watching the major three networks?
Yeah, it's like 2 million views a day.
It's crazy. And those popular people on YouTube who have, you know, millions of hits per video, they have more hits than a basic cable show. I mean, it's crazy.
How many people work at Michael Buckley Productions?
It's just me. That's it. I should have a full-time assistant. I should be paying someone to edit for me and stuff, but I'm not. I'm still doing everything, and it's fine. It's at the point when I could hire people, and I should hire people, but I'm still okay doing it myself. And I mean, honestly, I'd like someone to, you know, kind of work for me. Like, you know, I have someone on my, you know, I don't know. I know that sounds weird, but I still like doing it. So it's, you know, I still like doing, I don't like editing though. But I mean, if I had someone come over and edit, by the time I explained it and by the time they did it, I probably could have done it anyway.
That's how I feel about it too, though. You know, it's like you could get a lot of assistance with things, but it's like, sometimes it's, I don't know. I mean, do you see yourself doing this indefinitely, or where do you see all this going?
If I was doing this 10 years from now, I would be more than happy. Honestly, it's like, it's wonderful. I'd like to write a book. I'd like to develop other projects, but, you know, I make more money than I ever planned to. I'm happier than I ever planned to, so I'm just going to continue to enjoy it.
Because Lady Gaga said that she wants to die on stage in front of a million-dollar fans.
It's my goal. If I wanted to be a celebrity, I'd be in L.A. I'd be pimping myself more. I like making fun of celebrities. I tend to turn down things that are, you know, as attention-seeking as I seem, I'm really not. Like, and the thing is, if I became a celebrity, then I'd have to make fun of myself. You know, I mean, I make fun of people like who are Kardashians and things like that, you know, so I like living in Connecticut and, you know, making fun of celebrities. I honestly, the spotlight does not need to be any brighter on me. I like shining the spotlight on celebrities and their silly behavior.
Well, do you think that, like, someone like Tay Zonday moving to Los Angeles, do you think that's a bad move for him?
Oh, I have no idea. Tay Zonday is, you know, Chocolate Rain. That's like viral video. That's very different than what I do. So, I mean, what he does and what I do are very different. And, you know, I don't know what his goals are. I don't know if he's a... I'm not sure. So, I mean, anybody, you know, he can do it. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. It's fine.
I'm just concerned that a lot of these people have hit success mm-hmm. on YouTube. But I think you're unique, Michael, in the sense that you've really kept your head on your shoulders. Because it can be overwhelming to go out in the street and having lots of young people going, oh my God, I just saw you on my computer.
Right. And you know what? I get recognized all the time. I think I'm grateful that it happened to me when I was 30. I think if I was 18 to 22, it might have been a bit heady for me, and I might have been given a false sense of fame or a false sense of, you know. But I've all, you know, I'm very appreciative of it. I know what it is. I get it. I'm thrilled for the success, but at the same time, I'm happy. I'm glad it happened when I was older. And also having worked, you know, 40 hours a week in a normal job for so long, it's not like I was looking like, oh, I need to be rich and famous on the internet. I just happened to become successful, and I feel grateful for it, and that's it.
And YouTube is something you want to stick with because, but, you know, some people that we've interviewed that have had viral success with YouTube, they're like, I want a different career. I want to be on television.
Well, the people who have viral successes, they have like one or two hit videos.
Right.
I've just had a steady audience for 4 years. I was never an overnight sensation. I was never someone who had an enormous amount of views. I've just been on 4 years, you know, building an audience, being steady, and that's, I'm very grateful that I was not someone with, you know, one of those people who had like 30 million, 50 million views per video, and then, you know, the news picked it up and was like, ooh, they're a, because then it's kind of a freak factor, like, oh, you know, but I have 800 videos. I'm a scripted comedic show. I'm not something freaky deaky like that's going to be, you know, million people aren't going to forward it around like, look at this freaky deaky guy. You know, I enjoy comedic writing.
Your two girls, one cup video, though.
Well, that has 9 million views. I'm very proud of that. We talked about that 2 years ago. I'm like, of all the hours I spend working and scripting that damn show, and then I sit there and I react to porn for 2 minutes and I get 9 million views.
Mm-hmm. And that same thing happened to us. One of our friends, Jamie Williamson, reacted to the one guy, one cup, and he was like,
one guy, one jar.
One guy, yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds disgusting.
Seen it?
No.
Oh, it's you should watch that. And
you
then
can do
record
a sequel
that.
Anytime.
I'm tired from watching things like that, but yeah.
It's a guy who sits on a jar, and the jar unfortunately breaks inside of him.
I'm repulsed! Oh my God!
Well, now you gave it away, because you already know what
oh,
to expect.
Good. Sorry.
That's good, thank you. Right, and so, I mean, I understand the game, and I understand how I could, you know, become virally more, but, you know, like I said, I'm just...
Well, even let's, I'll just give you an example. Somebody such as Love B. Scott, who, in a similar kind of way to you, had a loyal audience, people that watched him religiously, and he didn't have, like, I guess I said viral, which was probably wrong, but he had a loyal audience.
He was a regular video blogger,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was a radio video blogger,
yep.
But he was one of the people that we've heard, and we've heard this from other people that were video blogging, is that they wanted to move on to television, to movies, to different kinds of things.
I'm just laughing here because you're making Mark's talk faster.
I know, that was good.
It is. I should have done cocaine.
I would be on TV if the offer was right, but, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, I'm on my own terms. I'm able to sell sponsorship and do videos, and honestly, it would take an enormous offer to be like, ooh, you're going to be on TV because I can stay home and make videos and, you know, make a great living. So I think the people who are on YouTube and, you know, who maybe aren't making a great living are like, I got to figure something else out, but I'm making a great living, so I'm just enjoying it.
Mm.
So what do you think about Lady Gaga sort of becoming, you know, she's become the viral sensation online, offline.
Yeah. My first thought to her when I'm sorry to finish your I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Say what you're going to say, because I have a lot more to add to that.
Well, I mean, when I first saw her in my first two or three What the Bucks that I mentioned to her, I was like, what the hell is this? She's freaky deaky. I found myself distracted by the strangeness. I saw her at I think it was the Grammys or the American, some music awards, and she was literally bloody and hanging herself. And I was like, this is just weird. It's not for me. I mean, this is fine. And I'm sure she had a good voice, but I was so distracted by the strangeness around it that I honestly couldn't get behind it. Well, the gays and everybody was like, oh, Buck, she's genius. Wait, you'll come around. And I did come around. I saw her, I think it was at another award show, and she was playing the piano. And I really respect her, and I love her. I love her song. She's super catchy, but it did take me a while to get over the freaky deakiness.
We want to remind you that today's show is brought to you by generous people just like you. And today's podcast is also brought to you in part by Audible.com. the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Feast of Fun.
Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun for your free audiobook. Here are some of the audiobooks we recommend. Hollywood Anecdotes, narrated by Debbie Reynolds, who is the mother of Princess Leia Carrie Fisher.
She sure is.
What do legends Groucho Marx, Betty Davis, W.C. Fields, and Alfred Hitchcock have in common? They're just four of the luminaries mentioned in Hollywood Anecdotes, the definitive oral history of film's golden era.
Or maybe Speed Bumps, Flooring It Through Hollywood, written by Terry Garr and narrated by Terry Garr. From the director she's worked with and admired to the men she's loved, Terry Garr shares the insights in Speed Bumps. Honest, heartfelt, and often profound.
We recommend all these fabulous books on audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun. And today's show is also brought to you in part by Pride Fest Milwaukee. Join us this June 11th through the 13th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds.
There's going to be over 150 acts, including Kathy Griffin, Patti LaBelle, Joan Rivers, Tattoo, Amanda Lepore, Bruce Vilanch, Jeffrey Star, Robert Verdi, and more. Visit pridefest.com to book your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's June 11th through the 13th on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Visit pridefest.com. We'll see you there.
Now, recently, Lady Gaga said on a French television program that, "I love all these rumors about me being a hermaphrodite. It makes me love my fans even more. They don't care if I'm a man, a woman, a hermaphrodite, gay, straight, transgendered, or transsexual. They don't care. They're here for the music and the freedom. And to look for my Hermie dick." I added that last part. Now, around this time last year, Gaga started to acknowledge all the rumors on Twitter. She actually tweeted, "My show was so good last night, I had to go home and suck my own Hermie dick."
Ew, gross!
That's what she actually said herself. So she started these rumors, or maybe she added to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's like, to me, it makes me love her even more.
Penis? Should I investigate?
Well, and it's kind of like, it's interesting because now she, in her latest video, she's showing her vagina on the screen. Like,
she could have tucked it.
I was, I think the thing is about music today is you have to be a country singer or you have to be freaky deaky. I feel bad for the girls who can sing very well and just want to stand there. I mean, we grew up, you know, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. You know, people could literally be pop stars, and now they have to, you know, and I'm not knocking it because I love it, but I feel bad for the girl who just wants to sing because it's not going to happen unless you go to Nashville and you want to be a country singer, and they took Kelly Pickler, they'll take anybody. So, I mean, you could be a country star, but honestly, if you just want to stand there and sing, they want you to be freaky deaky. And, I mean, Rihanna and Lady Gaga, they all look, you know, a little disgusting, but that's, you know, and very sexual. I'm not judging it. I enjoy it. But I'm just saying, if I was a female singer growing up, I'd be like, oh, shit.
You better take some dance lessons is what you better.
You gotta learn how to, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Whitney Houston looks pretty freaky today.
It's very sad. Somebody needs to say, don't sing that song anymore, Whitney.
It really is a testimony to just like, you know, sometimes if you do enough crack, it's going to take you off the deep end, and you might not ever come back.
Her voice is completely gone.
And her mind is gone, too.
I don't understand why anybody, these people like Lindsay Lohan and Whitney Houston, you feel like, I can't believe they don't have one person to just hold them and be like, you need to not go on stage tonight. Or even like Lindsay, it's like, you need to move to Florida or somewhere where you need to get away because you're so far gone. It's very sad. It's very sad.
Well, have you been following her latest court case?
Of course I have. And then she does an interview with Hollywood TV, and she's sitting there, and she looks so troubled and so a mess and 40 years old, and it's like, wow, it's tough, it's difficult to watch, and she really had a good year and a half ever. It's weird that she's, you know, she had Mean Girls, she had Freaky Friday, she was successful for about a year and a half, and then she went off the deep end, so for the last 4 years, it's just been her being a mess, so it's difficult. I know we're getting, like, I feel like we're on, it's so serious suddenly, but it is. I mean, for people who are listening who are like, I want to be famous, well, look, honestly, it's not. Look what happens, unless you're, you know, you got, you know, it's weird. It's very sad.
I think Frankie Muniz got a sex change, and that's who we think is Lindy.
He's on Twitter. He enjoys. I saw him tweeting the other day. I'm like, oh my God, it's, I think he's like a race car driver now.
He's so cute, though. He grew up to be straight, which was surprising. That we know of.
Well, I always say to people, don't ask Evan Lysacek, is he gay? Ask him if he's ever had a penis in his mouth, because, I mean, that's the question. Because a lot of people don't answer, are you gay? They'll say no, but you ask him if they had a penis in their mouth. Well,
they're same gender loving.
Exactly.
Well, what do you think about Kevin Jonas, the fact that he's not talking, that he doesn't sleep with his wife in the same bed?
He had to get out of it somehow, didn't he? Poor Kevin. I always say, you know, Kevin, he's so unattractive. I love Kevin. I mean, I love them all. I love the Jonas Brothers, but poor, I mean, really, you know, Nick is so cute, and he has diabetes, Nickabetes, I call it, and Joe is looking so Asian lately. Go watch his Good Morning America performance and freeze frame. It's like, he's Asian. I love it. And then just there's Kevin over there strumming the guitar like, nobody's looking at Kevin. I feel, you know, but he married Danielle DeLisa. I call her Double D. Hey, Double D.
Well, she's got big tits.
No, I just call her name is Danielle DeLisa, so I call her Double D. The kids love it.
It's ironic.
They're like, hey, Bud, did you hear about Double D? I'm like, yeah. I love coming up with names for people and then other people use them. It's a highlight of my day.
So do you think Lady Gaga's going to turn wearing an alcohol monitoring ankle bracelet into a fashion accessory?
Why? Is Lady Gaga wearing one?
Well, Lindsay Lohan
is. I'm sorry. Confused one with the other.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't like to. I feel, honestly, this is horrible to say, but I'll be sitting on the couch with my husband, and I wouldn't say this out loud, but I'm saying it on your show right now. I always look at him and I say things like, do you think Lindsay Lohan is going to die this week? It's so morbid, but I feel like it's, honestly, I'm not going for a laugh. I don't talk about her much on What the Buck anymore, because it's not like, it's like when Britney was at her lowest, it's not that funny to kick, you know, that low.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to make fun of Miley Cyrus. It's fun to make fun of Lady Gaga. It's fun to make fun of, you know.
Well, I didn't even know that they had an alcohol monitoring bracelet that they can actually detect through your skin whether you've been drinking or not.
I love it. I gotta get me one of those.
I know, because I can never control how much I drink after the third drink, and if
you're
I had
right,
one...
Gaga, though, you wouldn't be surprised if she started wearing it. She wears, like, you know, I said she's going to, for her next thing, she'll wear like an ironing board and the dress over the ironing board and the iron as a brooch. I mean, that's how she dresses. That's how I picture her. Like, she just wears, you know...
You know,
it's okay to be a freak, kids. Everybody needs that growing up. It's okay to be freaky deaky, but then, you know. But like I said, where's the poor girl who just wants to sing, you know?
But is it really hard for you? Do you really feel sorry for Lindsay Lohan? I mean, she had to fly in from Cannes, from France, for her appointment in court. I know it's an inconvenience to fly all the way from France,
I feel sorry for anybody. I feel sorry for, because honestly, knowing Michael Lohan and Dina Lohan via the press as I do feel a little sorry for anybody who came from that, because she really didn't have a chance. You know, without those two, honestly, if anybody, honestly, what the fuck, if I was making a video, I would be all mean and be like, I could care less, but when I stop and think about it as a real person, I do feel a little bad for her, because she is so far gone.
And what do you think?
So boring, I'm going to kill myself.
Is she gay or is she not gay? I don't understand what's happening.
You know, she's a mess. I mean, when you're a mess, you do both, I guess. You know, women love that. They go to college. They love it. They love women.
I wonder what Samantha Ronson has to say about all this.
They Twitter back and forth. Guess who just threw a drink at me? I mean, it's like they tweet. It's so scary.
So do you think that Samantha Ronson's going to get an alcohol monitoring bracelet to keep up?
I don't think they're dating anymore. I don't think they really even talk anymore.
No, they're fighting.
Well, they're tweeting. Look at this. This is the anguish that lesbian couples go through when they break up.
It's tough. It is.
Tammy Lynn Michaels.
Lesbians listening. Hi, lesbians.
Hey, girls. Tammy Lynn Michaels.
Did you see that?
So she was blogging, and there, you know, hell hath no fury like an angry lesbian with a blog and the ability to write poetry.
You will not censor me, Melissa Etheridge. It is. It's like a little haiku.
So this is, let's read a little bit of
read
this.
Read it. I love that.
Okay, so get your bongos out here. sideswiped at left mangled, up to my eyes in toilet training toddlers, and sounds of a guitar wailing, letting me know you probably would have left me soon. I know those heartache wails by now. I even told you it was a breakup album, and you laughed at me. You laughed and laughed. Ha ha! I heard Fearless and I got sick. That's your breakup song with me, I said to you. You got so angry with me, remember, and stomped off. Because I did not go anywhere, honey. And you and I both know it. Please stop telling the press it was mutual, because it was not.
Even the dog can't stand it.
Yeah, my dogs are like lesbians. Woof, woof.
Is that Buddy? What dog? Which one of your four dogs is that?
It's all of them. I have Colin. They're looking out the window. I just shut the blind.
We're talking
about
that
post. I actually, it was almost in the What the Buck show, but my audience is so young. They would be like, Melissa, what? Timmy,
who?
So, I mean, I privately enjoyed it, but my audience would have been like, no.
You have two spinoff shows. You do a live show on blog.
I do a live show twice a week on blog TV, Sunday nights and Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's very fun. I actually am doing a show called Dear Buck on my secondary YouTube channel, where I give advice, and I mean, I knew my audience was so young, and they always did want advice. So for the last 2 years, I've been doing advice live on the live show, and so I just now, like three times a week, I do Dear Buck, and I read their emails, and I answer questions, and I'm certainly not an expert, but, you know.
Do you ever get it wrong?
Oh, sure. And I always encourage people to leave advice, you know, for each other in the comment section, and they do. I'm trying to think, I've got it wrong at least twice, and then I go back and I annotate. I'm like, yeah. But basically, you know, people, I never understand people who want to help their friends or their friends are troubled. I'm like, I don't know. I know it's nice to want to help your friends, but it's like you just have to help your reaction to your friends. I mean, it's like you can't, a lot of people are just a-holes. And they always want, oh, my friend's an a-hole. I'm like, why? You know, at my age, I'm not friends with any a-holes. I'm really not. How do you break up with a friend? I'm like, I'm 34 years old. I have time for that shit. Mm-hmm. I honestly, there's not, you know, when you're 17, 16, you have to be friends with people. I don't, you know? So I give them a little tough love. I'm like, it's not like a boyfriend. Just don't be friends with them anymore. Boring. Move
just
on.
Don't call them back.
Well, the thing is, though, too, is like people are stuck in situations like you're in school or you're in college
exactly.
or you're at a job, so you're
exactly.
forced to deal with these people.
Exactly. But they,
unlike
kids,
Mr. Buckley, who works from home.
They love to Facebook and they love to get involved. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's fun at lunch to get involved in the drama. And that's why, you know, me being older and wiser, as much as What the Buck is, oh, drama and gossip, in real life, I have none. Like, I could care less. I'm just like, pfft. I'm a go with the flow. I'm very easygoing, you know, eh.
So we got some, you know, let's open it up to questions from the listeners here. We have a lot of them.
Hi, listeners.
Because they love you. You know, you're just such a likable guy.
You're sweet. I'm sure some of them hate me and are like, turn this fag off. Where's
Well,
where's
you know, and it's kind of like we're actually talking. I don't know if you've seen this guy, Johnny Jenkins, who blogs by Fat Gay Kid.
No. Hi, Fat Gay Kid.
He's a real interesting character, and he's like he has a lot of gay exuberance in his mm-hmm. video blog. He's just getting started, and I think he could be somebody who could be really big. But like it inspires when you're unapologetically gay on what you do. It's going to bring out the haters because their job is to hate.
Right. I did a video when I first started video blogging in 2006. My videos got like 200 views. I got 8 comments. 6 of them were "die fag, kill yourself."
Mm-hmm.
When you're and I created a fake account to write things like "you're cute, you should be on TV" to kind of counteract that, and it worked. Secret thinking. But I got a video from a 12-year-old gay boy the other day saying, you know, people picked on him in school and he loved me that I was so. So I honestly, I take. Whereas 2 years ago, if you had asked me about. I never started this to be like an example or a role model or anything. I was here to make fun of celebrities, whatever. But when I would do live shows and people got to know me more and I've been married for 9 years, my life is very whatever. But I get emails, and I know, and I do take it seriously. I am the first gay people, you know, thousands of people have seen, and I get emails and comments that are so, so wonderful. So, and again, I'm lucky I'm older. When you're 20 or 18 or 12 and you see Die, you're probably like, oh, boo-hoo. When you're my age, you're like, yeah, fuck off, I give a shit.
So let's get a question from Nick Reed. Nick asks on Facebook, Michael, how many award shows have you attended and how? And why do you think the TV show Glee is so popular?
Well, I don't think I've attended any award shows. I went to the Tonys back in the day as a seat filler. I've never been to an award show, really. I don't leave the house much, but thanks. I love Glee. Glee is my probably current top five favorite show. I think it connects with everybody. I think I've been waiting my whole life for a TV show that breaks into song. And I love it. The music is great. People love pop music, kind of show tune eyes. So, I love it. I love it. Everybody I know loves Glee too.
Did you know that Glee actually was intended to be a short film and that it actually was turned into a television series because they could not find enough producers or money to make it into a movie?
Oh, that's so, well, lucky for us, and it got picked up for a third season. I did a question 2 weeks ago, what show would you most be devastated if it was canceled? Number one was Glee, number two, Vampire Diaries. But again, that shows you my audience is young. Mm-hmm. But we love Glee. I always Twitter during Glee. I always cover Glee. It is my joy. I love it. I just enjoy it every week.
Well, speaking of Glee, Peter Sneed wants to know, how come every drama kid in high school is a big mo, meaning homo, but it seems only the ones who make it in Hollywood are straight? Why don't people in the know out these guys?
Wow, that's a very complex question. I'm not sure I like your tone, Peter. I think it's weird because, you know, people always, you know, a lot of... most people who make it in Hollywood, the leading men or whatever, they aren't gay as much as you like to joke. We like to joke about a lot of them. Mm. Oh, they're gay. You know, I mean, the people... But it's getting easier to come out. You know, Doogie Howser is out, and, you know, a lot of them are out now, but... You know, the people who are most famous are the people like Brad Pitt and those type, and George Clooney, and, you know, sorry to break it to you, they're not gay.
You know? Are you sure they have man caves?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Who knows what goes on down there?
Yeah, Michael, but every time a celebrity comes out, every gay person around the world says, I already knew it, it doesn't surprise me. Have you been surprised by any gay celebrities coming out?
No, I mean, Ricky Martin came out 10 years after everybody knew he was gay. I mean, most of the people who are known gay, like Anderson Cooper and stuff, they don't even need to come out because it's not like, you know, nobody really cares.
Well, who do you think is like right now, besides Anderson Cooper, is in that sort of like, if they actually came out of the closet, no one, everybody would yawn?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, And why do you say that?
Because I think it's public knowledge. He's gay. As far as I know, he's gay.
He got rolled in a park cruising a John,
I don't place any importance on sexuality. Like when the girl, it's just not a People magazine cover story. It's like you might as well be on the cover. Oh, I'm black. I have brown hair. It's not that interesting to me. So I just don't draw attention to other people's. It's not. I mean, it's funny for other gay. Oh yeah, look, he's gay. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not that interesting to me.
Rob Mills asks, "Are you going to get Lady Gaga to come on the podcast?" I guess he's asking us. We're waiting.
Exciting.
But okay. Glee is
here.
What? If Lady Gaga came on the show, I would dress up like her and confuse the. We would tape a video, and it would be like a mirror.
Do you love her? Are you a big fan?
I'm a big fan, Michael, because I actually used to do the exact same thing in my own stage act.
So she stole your thunder.
No, because a lot of people did this kind of stuff, you know. So it's like it was part of like the in the.
It's the same tradition.
Performance art and musicians. They all would put out really crazy, difficult to perform in costumes and perform on stage where the costume kind of got in the way of the instruments. And so,
right.
But when I did it, everybody was laughing hysterically. When she did it, they go, "She's brilliant."
And Perez loves her, so, I mean, that's like he's going to keep her up for a couple years. I mean, he loves her, and he loves making fun of Christina Aguilera, who I love going on YouTube and seeing all these videos people who are Christina fans have made showing pictures of Christina Aguilera from 03 or 04 wearing these costumes, and they're like, why are you saying Lady Gaga stole it? She was doing it 6 years ago.
Well, you know, people borrow stuff from each other, and Lady Gaga's outfits and her costumes and her music is all engineered by a group of people, you know, to say that she's stealing something. I'm sure she's paying those fashion designers very good money to do stuff for her. So.
Right, like she's not home in her basement with a paint palette. talent in, like, you know, sculpting these outfits.
She might
be.
I would love to think that. I know. Oh,
the madness of Lady Gaga.
You know what? People turn, though. Just like people turned on Taylor Swift. It's like, you know, you're hot 1 year, and then the next year it's fun to make fun of you. You know, it'll be interesting to see when her second album comes out if people are buying it or they're like, oh, it's tired. People are so fickle. God bless anybody who's able to have, you know, a 20, 40-year career, because people are fickle.
No, I like Lady Gaga, and actually, they play her music nonstop at the gym I work out at.
Oh, it's very festive to work out to, I'm sure. Those of you at home wondering how to drop 16 pounds, I'm taking 2 diet pills for breakfast, 2 for lunch, and a sensible dinner of 400 calories. Actually, on Dear Buck, I won't answer questions about weight loss because I'm such a horrible eater and example. So as I seriously pop diet pills and need to slip out, I'm like, don't ask me how to eat healthy because I'll tell you how I eat and you'll be like horrified.
Do you really take diet pills?
Yeah.
That's why you're all jacked up.
I weigh 150 pounds. Daddy got on the scale last night. It was 100. This is the thing when you work from home, you eat all day. I weighed 167 pounds. Next time you talk to me, I'm going to weigh 150 and you're going to love it.
You look fantastic, by the way, because you're a gymnast gay.
Oh, you're sweet. Come home, come over and try and sausage me into my pants, and then we'll talk.
Listen, I think you look good with a little more weight on you.
You're adorable. I'm hanging up now.
Well, you're the one who's saying...
Do you have a weight you like to weigh, and don't you have a certain pair of pants?
I do.
I just put on my shorts.
I could tell a fat girl she's beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. She has a cute face. Until she feels good, until these jeans fit me, I'm not going to feel good. So you just shut up.
Now, Perez Hilton was offered, what is it, $20 million to sell his blog?
I don't believe it. I think it's a PR stunt for both the other people, so people will look at their blogs. Perez Hilton is not going to sell his blog for $20 million.
It just strikes me that Perez Hilton and a lot of bloggers in his school hack a lot of what their success is about, because it is easy to hack Alexa rankings. It's easy to pay, like, Indonesian computer workers to comment on your blog and say, first. What do you think about all that?
Well, I don't even know what that means. I don't know. I've got these people in the basement writing first right now. Hey, Kathy Lee Gifford, while you're down there, make me a sweatshirt.
Well, I mean, because some bloggers have been accused of the fact that they just, like, pad their comments artificially.
Oh, I've never heard any of this, but I don't know.
So you don't think it's worth $20 million?
Honestly, he is so successful. Those ads, I mean, he's doing great. Good for him. I'm very happy for his success. And, you know, good luck to everybody. I wish everybody well who has a blog or a vlogger and anything. I wish everybody well.
I think I'm inspired by anybody who is successful.
Always been very nice to me. He's always been very nice
there you
to
go.
Me. I don't know him personally, but, you know, over the years, if I've asked him a question, so he's always been nice to me. I wish him well.
Okay, so let's see what you have to say about this. Curtis Jensen on the Feast of Fun Facebook page said, any thoughts on the Perez Hilton versus Dustin Lance Black dust up this past weekend? Was this Equality California disinviting Black, or is this Black's own reaction to Hilton's invite, since he likes to blacklist anyone who talked about his bare backing scandal? It's hard to say, Curtis.
Wow. I love, this reminds me of Dear Buck when people, I'm like, what's the question? 20 sentences later. I don't know what you're asking me. I'm not familiar with what happened this past weekend with Perez and Dustin Lance Black. So perhaps you can fill me in.
Well, the dust up that happened was that a human rights organization called Equality California invited both. I think they invited both of them.
Yes.
And then they realized that there had been a past conflict because Perez Hilton had posted some photos.
I do remember that, and I did actually react to that back in the day. Yeah.
What did you say about it back then?
What did I say about it? It's Michael Buckley, what the fuck? Michael Buckley, sitting at home, I felt troubled by it initially. I did. I felt like, you know, gay people have so few role models that this is, and it's true. I didn't have any gay role models growing up. I didn't know anybody who was gay. So here was a guy who had just won an Academy Award and people could look up to him. And then another gay person is posting these pictures. I felt troubled by it. But then at the same time, I have trouble with all those privacy things, to be honest. I mean, again, I'm a comedian. I make fun of people. I don't want to ruin anybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I have the British mentality, take the piss out. I'm not breaking news. I'm literally watching TV and making jokes about American Idol. If somebody sent me naked pictures of somebody, I would probably delete. Again, I'm not a celebrity blogger. I'm not a gossip columnist. I felt troubled by it personally, but at the same time I understood, but I was troubled by it personally.
But the pictures were kind of hot, so I was just like, whatever.
I said on my live show, I'm like, he's going to get dates now. What does he care?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, look, and Dustin Lance Black, of all people, should know that Harvey Milk himself had a lot of flaws and shortcomings, because we're all human beings and we all do great things and make great mistakes.
I'm always troubled. I am troubled, though, when I see things like people, you know what, God forbid I ever dated somebody or did something personal and then somebody sold or leaked that. I always find that, like, very, the sad side of being, you know, that whoever did that, I don't know. But then, you know, the girls do it themselves. They leak their own sex tapes and blah, 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 but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, are you shocked by any sex tapes or anything
Never.
Now?
Oh, God, no. I mean, but that was big, like 06, 07. And now Kendra. That's my Kendra laugh for those of you who watch Girl. You know, she's going to make millions of dollars off of this. And she's married. She has a baby. She has a successful reality show. This will not harm her. This is how we became aware of Paris Hilton. This is how we became aware of Kim Kardashian. It's never harmed anybody to have a sex tape.
Yeah. Well, it certainly turned you know, everybody's eyes on Dustin Lance Black. You know?
Yeah. So when's your sex tape coming out?
Oh, gosh, no. No.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there would love to see a full-on who are we talking to?
Michael Buckley.
Like, my mind
What could we title it with a name like Michael Buckley?
Oh, my
yeah.
God, so
what the
I'm
fuck?
So, you know what? I don't put out any sort of... I never get sexual comments. I don't put off any sort of sexual vibe. I never get emails like hitting on me because it's just like,
really?
No.
Never?
No. I've been married for almost nine. People know that. People don't. No one ever writes to me, "You're so hot, I'd like to." I mean, honestly, that's not the vibe. That's not the vibe I put out. I put out a vibe of making fun of Miley Cyrus. Let's all be 12 years old and talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'll be the first one to say that I've seen peekaboos when you do cartwheels on your videos, and
I did a video in a speedo. People enjoy it, but again, it's nobody's writing anything grossly, and I appreciate that. I'm not. I want people to write, "You're funny." I don't need to be told I'm cute. I know I'm cute, bitch.
Well, how about this for weird Hollywood? Brittany Murphy's husband is found dead
again. And troubling. The whole thing is troubling. She dying was troubling, and then I can't believe he's only like 38. I thought he was like, you know, he does not look good.
He had some weird work done or something, right?
I don't know. And then the rumor was he was dating
the mother, really?
That's what it was. It were gossip reports. Don't quote me. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so strange.
Josh Kilmer Purcell and his partner are starting a reality TV show that's based out of their home. And there's also a news story about a nunnery that turned their convent
into a health spa. The Sisters of Mary and Crone in Munchford, Austria. Or Munchoff.
So these lesbians.
Munchoff.
Josh Kilmer Purcell and his partner, who's the he used to be the animal doctor on Martha Stewart's TV show.
No, I think
show.
He was the doctor.
He was the doctor.
Oh, fun.
On Martha Stewart's TV show, and they turned their home in out in rural New York into a bed and breakfast, and these nuns have turned their home also into sort of a bed and breakfast spa. Maybe you could do that with your partner.
Oh, God, no. No, you know what?
Michael Buckley.
I love people on reality shows because it's good material for me. I wouldn't wish a camera watching me. You know, I'm very controlled about that. But unless it was scripted, unless I was completely like Kathy Griffin, who is in complete control over how she is, I would never, if anybody said, "Oh, we're going to do a reality show," and then I have to sit there and watch what you did to it, no.
What about just like, because you have a big house there.
I do have a big house, and I have four dogs, honestly, I'm not that interesting to share. I would have to do things. I literally, I don't like, I would have to have like people over, like, to pretend like there's draw. Honestly, I have so little people in my life, and I have so little going on in my day. It would be so boring.
Breathe into that paper. I think we're making you nervous.
You're making who nervous?
You.
Me?
Yeah, because it's like the thought of having people invading your house.
No.
Can we? The reason I'm asking this is because we're probably be going up to Connecticut sometime soon, and we need a place
welcome
to stay.
If you can bring cameras.
Really?
Hey,
sure.
Okay, taking you up on that.
Michael, are you a Lost fan?
I am not, and I watched the pilot back in the day, and I was so confused, but I am going to watch it all on DVD now that it's over, because that's how I like to watch TV, from start to finish.
Well, you know, should we spoil it for you?
No, don't. I'll kill you.
Okay, so
the island is a spaceship.
I tweeted Sawyer's dead? Question mark, and everyone was like, "What? What? What?"
I don't know. It's like, well, okay, so Brian Bowman wants to know, do you think it's hard? This is a long question here, food for thought.
Hard.
They always like to put long questions here.
People love hearing themselves ask questions.
Do you think that gossipy, dishy, openly gay columnist bloggers, video bloggers make it harder for more serious online journalists to be taken seriously? Or is it simply another facet of online journalism?
Really, one has nothing to do with the other. It's like asking if Entertainment Tonight gets in the way of ABC Evening News. If somebody wants to make a gossip blog, that's what they like to do. I always tell people, do what you want to do. Don't try and be Perez Hill, and don't try and be Feast of Fun. Do what you want to do. If you enjoy covering news, but now we're in an age where even main news wants to be entertainment reporting, and you watch Insider and Access Hollywood, everything is so opinionated because of Fox News, really, because people are so editorial. Nobody wants to hear the news anymore. They want to hear people calling people a hoe. I mean, they really do. They want to hear, you know, comments on things, not just the news. It's crazy.
I think it would be fun to see Anderson Cooper get a little jiggy with it.
You know what? It's so sad. No, CNN is, nobody watches those shows. It's weird. I don't understand why nobody watches CNN. Everybody watches Fox News or, it's weird. I mean, I saw the ratings for CNN. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know.
Conservative stuff does very, very well. Liberal stuff, or even if it's, and I wouldn't even say CNN is very liberal.
Yeah.
But I mean, the more conservative you are, the more people are attracted to it. Because it's very polarizing.
There's a conservative gay blogger here in Chicago who started writing about how he was pro-Hillary. And because Hillary did not get the presidential nomination, he became a ardent, openly gay Sarah Palin supporter.
See that? I honestly, as cute as that is, and I believe him, part of me always doesn't believe gay people. I always think he's just going for the headline. You know, like, the gay guy who likes Sarah Palin. I'm not saying that's true, but the cynical side of me thinks, what gay guy really likes Sarah Palin?
Well, Levi, not even Sarah Levi Johnston Palin. Likes Sarah Palin.
What?
Not even Levi Johnston
exactly.
likes Sarah Palin.
I mean, I think he likes Tina Fey's Sarah Palin. If he said that, you know, and I'm sure she's charming. I think I read her, no, I didn't read her book.
Now, Ronnie Kroll, Make Me a Supermodel, he was the openly gay runner-up.
I watched that show.
He's now, he's finished taking the pictures. He's going in the footsteps of Levi Johnston, and he's posing full-on nude for Playgirl magazine. And in this case, he actually has something to show.
The thing is about, it's tough. I mean, modeling is an industry that, again, it's like being a pop star. If you want to be a model now, it's almost like you have to have a reality show. You have to have a gimmick. You can't, there aren't supermodels anymore. These people win America's Next Top Model and then nothing because, you know, Julia Roberts and Queen Latifah, and it's such a horrible industry. I mean, good for him. Maybe it'll lead to a reality show on Logo. Who knows what he wants? I mean, good for him. Show your penis. Good luck. I wish everybody success.
We've heard from a friend of ours that it's a good size.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't wait.
You know, I always get jealous though when I see these like very attractive guys like, you know, posing naked, and I'm like, and some of them we know personally, and I'm just like going, why did you do that when you were at my house?
Well, now you put it out there to the universe. Let me tell you, the next house guest you have, they're going to be naked. They're going to be naked in your house.
Yeah, the problem is it's always the people you don't want getting naked in front of.
That's
you.
Not true. That's not true. That's it's a horrible always, thing to say.
Well, sometimes it's the case.
Now, when I hang up, all I'm going to think of is that. One guy, one jar, and people getting naked in your house. These are the images I have of this show.
Well, did you? This is an interesting thing. Jason Mraz wrote on his blog. He attended the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast this weekend, and he was so touched by the cause of gay and lesbian equality.
And he wants to get touched by more gays. What?
I guess so. This is what he wrote on his MySpace blog. When I was in high school, I experienced being bullied. For whatever reason, there were a few students that enjoyed calling me faggot as I walked through the lunchroom. On one occasion, just before graduation, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time and picked up a few punches, kicks, and scrapes to add to my story. I never knew why the handsome lads called me names or felt the need to bully me, but it happened, and I let their actions contribute a great deal to me moving away from that community. Now, this is one thing I've always said about gay rights, is that you're not just fighting for equality of gay people, it's also for people who are perceived as being gay.
It's true.
But why did Jason Mraz call his tormentors handsome?
I don't know. Maybe he'll write a song about it. Sounds sexy.
Because, you know, sometimes you're attracted to the ones who hurt you.
What?
Sometimes you're attracted to the people that hurt you the most.
It's true. It's true. I think he's probably, you know, he knows, you know, it's all a game. People have MySpace. That's so cute. I honestly didn't. I got an email the other day inviting me. I haven't been on MySpace in so long. That's so cute. MySpace.
Well, is MySpace officially dead?
Blog. I feel like it's 2006. I'm like, what's a MySpace blog? That's so cute.
Well, Mark, do you have anything you want to ask Michael? You're like,
no, I'm not posing naked at your house or shitting in a cup. What?
Well, about Jason Mraz, I think, you know, why did he call these hands? Is he in the soft closet? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think he was just saying what, because he was dorky, so they were perceived as handsome at the time. So it was more like storytelling. As someone who writes songs, he understands whether blogging or storytelling, using descriptive adjectives like that help get a picture in the head of the story of an attractive boy, you know, these kids who were cool, good-looking, beating up him. So I think it was just more of a descriptive word than a homosexual declaration.
Right. Well,
but
sometimes
the choice of words is really important here, isn't it? I mean, because you could have said the popular kids, or the well-groomed kids, or the kids that are obsessed on their appearances, or the kids that were perceived by everybody to be attractive.
So he was looking at them because he was hot for them, and they knew it. Is
Maybe
that what you
so,
mean?
Yeah.
I think so.
Or are these handsome guys, the gay guys, are they like George Reekers that, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemies and we're our own bullies in our own community. And we beat up on the people that we perceive, you know, in high school as gay because of those own feelings that we have inside ourselves.
Wow, that was deep. That was good. I like that one.
And then
I'm writing that down. When you call me again in 2 years, I'm totally going there.
Do we have to wait 2 years to talk to you again, Mark?
Oh, please. Anytime. I'm always available. I'm home all day yelling at my dog. Not eating.
And
not
last but not least, Christina Aguilera had to cancel her tours because she's charging too much for tickets, right?
See, I used to work for Live Nation, so I should ask them the scoop, but they wouldn't tell me.
They wouldn't tell you anything. But so she canceled here in Chicago.
Well, yeah. I think she canceled it nationwide, right?
It's postponed till next year, saying she needs to promote her movie and work on something else.
But I think that was the slumpy ticket sales, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Perez Owen says in some other gossip blog, so who knows?
Well, it is difficult because a lot of these people are touring the country and asking, you know. I mean, I think Glee on tour is probably a better deal than saying...
Oh, yeah. But still, that's $75, which, you know, but I mean, also it's lots of cast members. You could like Puck, you could like Corey, you could like Leah Michelle. You get a choice for like $100-something. You're just getting Christina Aguilera bumping her hooli, you know? So it's like, I don't know, you know.
So what are you looking forward to right now?
I'm looking forward to being tan this summer. I am...
At your age...
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a terrible person. I take diet pills and I tan. Kill me.
What do you think? It's the 60s?
I know, exactly. I don't know. I'm looking forward to summer. I'm going to L.A. in July for VidCon. It's a video conference where a lot of YouTubers are going to be there, and I will be speaking at that. I'm looking forward to that in July. And then just summer TV, you know, Big Brother, so you can dance, all the summer stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm just enjoying life, enjoying my flowers, and, you know, enjoying What the Buck. Just, you know, honestly, just having a great life and enjoying it.
Well, Michael,
gay, just kill me.
What?
But it's true. I don't want. Honestly, I'm just. I'm enjoying. I'm just enjoying. I read The Secret. It changed my life. I'm a positive thinker. What the hell can I say?
Did you really read The Secret?
I read The Secret in November of 2007, and I started making money in December of 2007, and my relationship with money and the world changed because I just changed the what I was putting out there. That's why I see people tweeting depressing things. I'm like, hey, you're going to get more of that. So, I mean, I'm very optimistic. I always think, you know, good thoughts, and it's always, you know, coming.
Well, how do you get rid of the bad thoughts when they invade your head?
Honestly, I've trained my brain. I started doing this, like, probably in, like, 1995. I started reading those types of books that really, so honestly, I force bad thoughts out. If I start to think negatively, whoop, I just, you know, I have strategies in place. Everybody needs to come up with their own strategies, you know, to be happy.
Do you think about like sunshine and roses or,
no,
I mean, what do you do?
No. No.
So you don't think about, you just say no to the bad thoughts.
I do. I don't have, yeah, I really do. I think good thoughts and I'm, you know, I'll just kiss my dog or, you know, just look around and just be, you know, very happy, very, you know, very, very, you know, well.
I mean, you're an endless ocean of energy and positive thoughts.
What's his diet pills?
I am. I'm downtime. I mean, I get tired. I get, you know, I'm not like sunshine and rainbows all the time, but you know, but I quickly snap out of it. I have good recovery time. If I'm in a bad mood, I allow myself to be in a bad mood. I'll lay in bed for a couple hours and watch something depressing on TV, have a good cry, and then I'll be up and ready to go again. You know, I've always been good at, you know, being in a good mood.
Because one thing that gets challenging when you're around somebody who's always perpetually in a good mood is that they seem out of touch.
Right. I guess that's true.
So how do you, like, stay in? And you seem like a person that's very much in touch, but also happens to be very happy. Of course, you have a lot of things to celebrate and be very successful and to be grateful for.
I'm not, honestly, if I see you in person, I'm not going to be, like, hugging you and preaching happiness. I don't know how the conversation... I think we've just been talking about poop so much that I just thought I'd bring it around to happiness and rainbows.
Okay, well, let's talk about Tom Cruise and how crazy he is.
Why? What do you do now?
Well, he's trying to explain why he jumped on Oprah's couch by denying it ever happened.
Oh, I love this. Story.
So in an upcoming interview in Esquire magazine, he's quoted as saying, what happened happened. I wanted the audience to be happy, just like I wanted to make my sister and my mother happy when I did those skits as a kid. But I'll take responsibility for my actions. Afterward, wild things were said about me. And once they're in the ether, there's nothing you can do about it. I felt like being the new kid in the schoolyard again, and the other kids are whispering and whispering about you. And suddenly you hear what they're saying and you think, what? That didn't happen. Look at the reality of the situation.
Mark, you have to say it like Tom Cruise. He says it. Look at the reality of the situation.
Is that how he talks?
Yeah.
Very intense.
He's like a young Jack Nicholson. I think he looks up to Jack Nicholson so much that after working on A Few Good Men, it's like...
You can't handle the couch.
But he's like denying that it happened.
That. I mean, in that moment, God, he was like, I'm in love. And apparently that's funny. He was just trying to amuse his mother with a skit. I don't know. I enjoyed this story. This is the first I've heard of that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that when you're around Oprah, it's like all you want to do is to please her.
John Travolta! I love how she stopped hugging skinny people. Like, she won't let them near her. She'll grab, like, if she has, like, the Olsen twins on, she grabs them halfway across the stage, like, good to see ya. And she grabs their hands. Or they don't film her, like, from the waist down when they're hugging anymore because it's, like, it's just too much. I love her. She's so big.
Well, I guess part of the reason why she doesn't hug people anymore, too, though, is that Mariah Carey came on the show once and she was wearing a white dress. And they hugged, and like her makeup all ended up on the white dress.
That's funny. No, she hugs. Like, I watch every day. She hugs, but you can just watch when there's a skinny person on the camera that does weird things. Like, let's not get this. Let's not make this worse than it is.
Oh, because they don't want her to appear larger.
Exactly.
Well, it's an issue of scale.
I love Oprah. I watch her every day, and it's my favorite magazine subscription. I probably subscribe to like 30 magazines, and the one magazine that I would not do without is Oprah. It's a great magazine.
Well, so when you give hugs to your fans, do you do the Oprah high-five hugs?
Oh, no. I'm a good hugger. I love to hug.
Well, I'm going to give you a hug because we're running out of time.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Oh, Michael, it's always a pleasure. And, you know, I hope that one day we can hang out at an expo conference together and commiserate.
Sounds delightful.
He doesn't miserate about anything. Well, he's positive.
I want to be... Connecticut, you are welcome.
Buy you a cocktail. And
yes,
then,
I love cocktails.
And then have a sit down and you'll be like... I was so mad at I Justine. I hate that bitch.
I can't believe that bitch won the Price is Right.
Was she on the Price is Right?
She won. She's in Hawaii right now because she won the showcase, too.
Wait, how did she? Was she just a regular contestant?
Yeah, she was a contestant, but it's like casting now. They always have cute people on. It's like not the old days.
Wow.
Oh, that is so much fun. You know, I've heard friends. We had a really, really, really flamboyant gay friend named Jim Glob, and he made it onto Price is Right back when it was Bob Barker days.
Oh, yes. I love Price is Right. I used to stay home from school and I'd watch at 11. I loved it. I'd bid on everything. Mm-hmm. I'd pretend I was playing Plinko. Don't ask.
He won, our friend won Plinko, and he also won a year's supply of eggs.
Oh, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh,
I would have to just nicely say no thank you. There's no way I'd be letting eggs in my house.
Michael, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care, sweetie.
Bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael Buckley lives in an undisclosed location in Connecticut.
It's a small state. You can find him if you really want to find him, right?
I guess pick up a phone book.
He'll be there.
Michael Buckley, Michael, with his partner, his husband, Michael, and their four dogs, Ellie, George, Colin, and Buddy. We salute you guys.
Woo, all those dogs.
And to all the fabulous video bloggers on YouTube and other video sharing sites. You inspire us, you inform us, you educate us, and you entertain us thanklessly.
And we love it. And if you have a video blog or if you find something that's fabulous on the internet, we invite you to come to feastoffun.com/fresh and post it there. We're always looking for fresh and exciting new content.
Keep it fresh, baby! And we'll keep it fresh for you. Mm-hmm. And we love to feature independent music. Let us know about it. Send us your tracks to mail@feastoffun.com. The music featured on today's show is the music of Nakia. His song World of Love from his album Water to Wine is available through our website, feastoffun.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Lasting wonder from each moment in his lifetime. Every smile on every face. Life could be just like a symphony, 'cause you fill my heart with happiness and grace. Can be wondered.